in Wandsworth. The rest of London's roads aren't looking too bad at the moment, but on the train's Great Eastern Line services from Liverpool Street to Clacton, they're facing delays and alterations because of signalling problems. Rob Hooker, LBC Traffic Centre.
Thanks very much, Rob. You've been listening to Dawn Traders. We're brought to you by Reuters, instant information to the world's financial markets. It's Friday, so have a good day, have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday, 5:30 through till 6.
Rumour is a pipe, blown by surmises, jealousies, conjectures, and of so easy and so plain a stop that the blunt monster with uncounted heads, the still discordant wavering multitude, can play upon it.
Rumour can be a dangerous commodity. To plan successfully, your company needs a reliable source of information, a source trusted for the consistency and integrity of the facts it delivers. Over 140 years, Reuters has built a global organisation supplying accurate news and electronic information to the world's business, media, and financial centres. So, with Reuters, you get a sound foundation to support your business decisions. Reuters, the business of information.
Patsy, this ticket, it says London Gatwick. You know I'm in a hurry to get to Brussels.
Yes, Mr. Sedgwick, that's why you're going from London Gatwick. It's the fast track airport.
Fast track?
As a business class traveller, you will fly through check-in, security, passport control and duty-free, should you want to get someone a gift, thanks to London Gatwick's new priority clearance system, fast track.
As if on rails, I suppose?
Precisely. Your train leaves Victoria on the quarter hour and deposits you in the heart of the airport half an hour later.
Oh! So I am flying from London Gatwick, then, Patsy.
And to it, and through it, Mr. Sedgwick.
London Gatwick, the fast track airport. For a complete guide, call 0800 210 212.
Hello, I'm Geoffrey Salmon. When you're making an insurance claim, do you feel the odds are stacked against you? Don't you deserve a better settlement? Salmon Assessors aim to achieve the maximum payout every time by professionally negotiating with your insurers quickly and efficiently. We act for both commercial and domestic policyholders. Phone London's hottest assessors now on 081 3 40 40 40. That's 3 40 40 40. And remember, Salmon Assessors, we're on your side.
Oh, boy.
Problem?
Sounds like a big one.
17 computers.
Where to?
Cape Town and Joburg.
Sugar Sue?
No, thanks.
When by?
Monday.
Come on.
And you agreed?
Tell me how.
DHL.
You win.
Where's the number?
DHL. Hi, guys, look. Him and his promises.
Brilliant.
Well done. See you pretty soon, then.
OK, what'd they say?
No sweat.
All right, let's go.
Better call the warehouse.
Anything else to go?
Such as?
Manuals?
Well, there's nothing in the order book.
Send them some anyway.
Software?
Let's see. Nobody's screaming.
Bound to be soon, then.
Send them a selection.
Just a minute, Matthew. Think about the freight costs.
I am.
Do what?
Look at their rate card.
Don't you remember?
Oh, yes, DHL.
The heavier the weight, the lower the rate.
Sorry, being a bit slow there.
Good job there, not?
At DHL, the heavier the weight, the lower the rate. DHL, no matter how heavy they are, we keep your promises. To keep us from you.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
Good morning, it's 6 o'clock. I'm Douglas Cameron. In this bulletin, the Prime Minister is expected to appeal for party unity as he winds up the Tory conference. President Clinton sends more troops to Somalia, and shock figures show half Britain's teenagers have tried illegal drugs. John Major is preparing to make the most crucial speech of his political career today. He's expected to stress the need for party unity when he addresses the Tory conference in Blackpool. Peter Murphy reports.
Despite the forecast, the Tory party hasn't torn itself apart in public here. The constant repetition of the need for unity and support for the Prime Minister has kept dissidents at bay. The price, though, is a shift back to the right wing, which appears to have bought off the support of the Thatcherites. The truce may not last. The rhetoric of the past few days has upset the left. Last night, Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd was backpedalling, warning the party not to undervalue teachers, nurses, those in the public services. In his speech today, Mr. Major has to keep both sides happy.
President Clinton, who's under pressure to pull US troops out of Somalia, has announced that he's sending an extra 5,000 in. But in a television address, he has given a deadline for the withdrawal of American forces, the end of March. Mr. Clinton says pulling out now would be disastrous.
If we were to leave today, we know what would happen. Within months, Somali children again would be dying in the streets. Our own credibility with friends and allies would be severely damaged. And all around the world, aggressors, thugs, and terrorists will conclude that the best way to get us to change our policies is to kill our people. It would be open season on Americans.
Brent East MP Ken Livingston has told a Californian court the British government covers up rogue elements in Northern Ireland's security forces that assassinate Republican sympathisers. He's testifying in the extradition trial of IRA suspect James Smith, who was arrested in San Francisco after 10 years on the run. This report from Stephanie West.
The MP claimed that, off the record, any British politician would admit there's been an unofficial shoot-to-kill policy in Northern Ireland. Smith, who took part in a mass breakout from the maze 10 years ago, denies he's in the IRA. But his defence argues he'd face discrimination anyway and could even be killed if he returns to the province. Mr. Livingston said that Smith would be safe from the majority of the security forces, but claimed a minority take the law into their own hands to kill, torture or intimidate.
Nearly half of Britain's teenagers have tried illegal drugs by the time they leave school, and up to a third are regular users. That's according to a new report. Researchers at Manchester University have been interviewing 16-year-olds over a period of 3 years. The latest results, which cover the second year of the survey, show significantly more youngsters are taking drugs and drinking underage. 9 out of 10 school children drink, 4 of them on a weekly basis, averaging 4 pints a session. LBC News Time, 6:03. 1 in 4 young Londoners don't vote, according to a new survey for the British Youth Council. It claims a wide gulf exists between many young people and politicians. The organisation is blaming the trend on cynicism and apathy. The council's General Secretary, Graham Hitchin, says the trend is most marked in the capital.
The situation is across the whole of the country that more than 2 million young people did not vote in the general election at all. That's a combination of not being registered and then not participating even if they were registered. Whereas in London it's much, much higher because far fewer young people are actually registering to vote in London.
Viscount Linley marries Serena Stanhope in St Margaret's Church, Westminster today, and as David Addis reports, the occasion will be surrounded by all the trappings of a royal wedding.
The couple will take their vows in front of 680 friends and relatives, including the Queen Mother and the Princess of Wales. But the Prince of Wales, Duke of Edinburgh and the Duke of York won't be there because of commitments abroad. The bride is the daughter of the wealthy landowner Viscount Petersham and the former Irish show jumper Virginia Freedom Jackson. The reception this afternoon in the throne room at St James Palace will feature champagne and canapes, reportedly costing £25,000.
And in case you haven't heard already, today is LBC's 20th birthday. It was on this day, way back in 1973, that LBC first went on air, marking the start of independent radio in Britain. Since then, of course, dozens more commercial stations have been launched, following in our footsteps. Well, now the financial news. Last night in London, the 100-share index closed down 8.4 at 3092.4. Here with the morning markets report, Rebecca Marston.
Sterling's a touch higher across the board in the foreign exchanges in the Far East. Against London's close last night, the pound against the dollar, 152 and a third. Against the mark, 2.47 and a third. The dollar against the yen, unchanged at 105 and a quarter. And against the mark, also unchanged at 1.62 and a third. To the share markets in Tokyo, the Nikkei index is down 75 points at 20,190. Australia's All Ordinaries index up 3 points at 2025. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index down 82 points at 79.84 on profit-taking, and Singapore's Straits Times down 5 points at 2032.44. Last night in New York, the Dow Jones Index finished down 15 points at 35.84. And when I have the details on how much LBC's celebration party is going to cost, I'll whisper it to you, Douglas.
Dominic's picking up the tab. No need to worry. Here he is with the sport.
11 athletes failed drugs tests at the Chinese National Games in Beijing last month. But Wan Yunxia and Ku Yunxia, the two women who broke 3 world records between them by very large margins at those games, are not among those who tested positive. Gordon Jura has been fined 2 weeks' wages by Tottenham for his outburst against the manager Ozzy Ardiles when he was substituted on Wednesday night. Ryan Giggs and Lee Sharp have both agreed to new 5-year contracts at Manchester United, and Liam Brady has resigned as manager of Celtic following their disastrous start to the season. Michael Jones, the All Blacks' open-side flanker, will miss the forthcoming tour of England and Scotland. He fractured his jaw in two places in a freak accident during training in Auckland on Wednesday. Philip de Freitas had been given permission by Lancashire to find a new county 24 hours after Neil Fairbrother had resigned the captaincy. De Freitas asked to be released from his contract so that he could be nearer his wife's home because their young daughter is an asthmatic. The two-day race meeting at Ascot, which was due to start today, has been abandoned because the course is waterlogged, but the meetings at Market Raisin and Carlisle will go ahead.
Well, how much more rain are we going to get? The man with the answer to that one, Philip Eden.
I'm sure you don't really wish to know. From the LBC weather station this morning, the temperature's 10 degrees exactly, the wind's southeasterly at 6 miles an hour, and air quality is good. Well, here we go again, day 31 of this very unsettled spell, so umbrellas will come in handy today. First thing, there are showers scattered across London itself and counties south of the Thames. Meanwhile, to the north of London, there are a few fog patches just for the moment, though they shouldn't last more than an hour. During the whole of the day, there'll be large amounts of cloud, limited sunny spells, so the sun will show itself from time to time, and be prepared for showers at almost any stage, and especially during the afternoon, some of the showers could well be quite heavy, and once again, there's an outside chance of thunder. Top temperature, well, as you might expect, nothing special, reaching 15 degrees during the brighter spells at the very best, and that's a degree or so below the seasonal average. Overnight, tonight, still more showers. Philip Eden, LBC Weather.
Good morning, this is Mike Carlton. Friday, October the 8th, 1993. Would you believe? Well, you know, I suppose. It's LBC's 20th birthday today. I'm 20 years old today, the London Broadcasting Corporation, or whatever we are. Oh, if only you could see the celebrations, the cake, the champagne. Let joy be unconfined, as Mr. Housego is so fond of saying. The festivities continue through the morning. Haven't noticeably started here yet, but I suppose something will happen. Anyway, what else have we got up in Blackpool? The Conservative Conference marches to its conclusion after all the excitement of yesterday, herself, etc. Finally, John Major gets his chance this afternoon to speak to wrap it all up. Let's hope he has a nice new shirt on today. I don't know what was wrong with yesterday's shirt. Did you see it on television? The collar was sticking out all over the place. It looked very odd. He looked like a rather untidy schoolboy. Very strange. Anyway, it is interesting, though, isn't it, to see their heads up there on the platform. I rather enjoy watching this, the facial expressions, the body language. Sir Edward Heath, I think, makes a particularly fine sight. He looks... looks rather like a leg of lamb struggling to emerge from a paper bag. His disdain for Margaret Thatcher when she arrived yesterday was wonderful to behold. It was indeed the sound of one hand clapping. Anyway, enough of that. We shall have more of this through the morning. Other news today, the fallout from the decision not to proceed with the trial of three police officers accused of charges in connection with the case of the Birmingham Six. More criticism of that this morning. Calls for a full inquiry, etc. On a somewhat more joyful note, the royal wedding today. The Viscount Linley marries the Honourable Miss Serena Stanhope. Or at least we think he's going to. There are plans for it. And she didn't turn up for the rehearsal yesterday, which apparently left a few people hot and bothered, just didn't front. Will she turn up today? I suppose she will. And that really is about it. It's all fairly quiet. President Clinton sends more troops to Somalia. We'll look at that in a minute. But apart from that, really all quiet on the Western Front, except for the news at Arthur Daly. Actor George Cole is calling it a day. He's hanging up the cashmere coat, making his last series of Minder, wants to spend more time with her indoors, unquote. So there we are. That's it then. Morning, Fred.
Good morning. You're right about clothing in British politics, by the way. In general, our prime ministers do not do themselves the best, do they? They tend to have suits that are either too big or too small.
Which prime minister do you speak
all of?
Them.
I mean, Uncle Ted, for example. I mean, he always looked as if he'd sort of tried to get into his clothes on a single man yacht round the world. If you look at
it's
Ted.
A funny shape.
Yeah, I know, but you'd think they'd spend a few quid. After all, the idea is that theoretically we still make the best suits in the world. And remember, Ted used
they
to.
They can't afford them. The Prime Minister doesn't get paid very much.
Don't get freebies.
He can't afford £1,000 at Savile Row.
Don't they get freebies?
No.
They gave him to Jimmy Carter when he came over. Old Callaghan sorted that, gave him the cloth for a fine suit.
Maybe.
In fact, I think they should bring Alistair Cook in as the wardrobe advisor. He's the man who always wears his lovely soft look and always looks presidential, more presidential than presidents.
I think Alistair Cook probably makes a bit more money.
Yeah, he's probably right. Wouldn't stoop so low, would he?
No.
And by the way, while we were talking, did you notice on the television screen the Linley affair was coming up?
No, I missed that.
Over there, by the furniture shop there in Pimlico. They were all standing outside looking through the window.
Well, indeed. How lovely.
You've been invited?
No, but I'll be there on the pavement cheering the happy couple
as they
emerge. Of course,
camping out all night.
Camping out all night, yes.
Aren't they lovely? Oh, gorgeous, aren't they?
Etc.
Yeah, well, good morning anyway.
Yes, good morning.
Well, it's Friday. You can tell there's a tone in the voice here, yes. And indeed, let joy be unconfined. Northwestern suburbs. I came through this morning down through sort of the A40, etc. Some heavy mist drifting around there. Very little of it, but it will catch you by surprise. Motorways, no reported problems, but Hammersmith Grove, as I came through, this is about 20 minutes old. That was closed in both directions between Glenthorne Road and Beedon Street down to the one-way system. And I think there's a fire there. I saw a fire brigade, a tender there, and a couple of police cars. Telgarth Road. Road Junction to Glidden Road lights are out there, and Earlsfield Road Junction to Garrett Lane lights out there as well. On the Underground, no reported problems after yesterday's Central Line strike, and indeed today should be running quite well. British Rail, we've got problems between Arlesford and Great Bentley, which will cause delays and some alterations until noon between Colchester and Liverpool Street. It's London bound only that's affected. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
The lights are always out at Telgarth and Glidden Roads. Why is this?
I think there's an insurance company looking for a few quid, actually. It's a very... You're right, actually. It's one of those the most awkward junctions in London.
And the lights never work?
No. It's been the last 4 or 5 days that they've been sort of playing around and, the phasing goes wrong, then the sequence goes wrong and so
more on. More jobs worth go. Thank you, Fred. It's 6:12.
Flying from Gatwick? Park conveniently on airport at both North and South terminals at NCP Flight Path long-term car parks. We can always accommodate you. That's NCP Flight Path.
LBC News Talk it is, 97.3 FM it is, Voice of London, all that.
Window film could increase productivity, reduce air conditioning costs, and in the event of an explosion, help save equipment and lives. The Durable Company, with over 21 years' experience, provides and fits 3M window films. Multifilm offers year-round protection against bomb damage, overheating, and glare on VDU screens. Call Reading 483 500 to improve your office environment.
The Durable Company, well worth looking into.
Hello, I've just heard about a different type of egg, the four-grain, and I'm down at White Oaks Farm to talk to the experts, the hens. Good morning to you two. Now, why is it called the four-grain egg? Because you have a four-grain diet. I see. Wheat, barley, maize and oats. So you enjoy your food and I'll enjoy the eggs. But will my children notice the difference? All right, I'm sorry. You obviously think so.
At leading supermarkets and stores, four-grain eggs from White Oaks Farm, where choosy chickens lay tasty eggs.
I'll get some today.
God, now we're interviewing hens. It's 6:14. Okay. The Conservative conference comes to an end today with the keynote speech by the Prime Minister. A crucial test, as everyone never seems to tire of saying. A test where he must reassert his authority after all these damaging leaks from Lady Thatcher's book. So far, the signs seem to be good. The Prime Minister was warmly received yesterday without uttering a word. While Lady Thatcher appeared perhaps to be slipping a little from Tory favour. A clapometer, one of those little needles with a, a dial with a needle on it, recorded the applause when first herself, then himself, walked onto the platform in Blackpool yesterday. With more on that and more on today's speech, our political correspondent Kevin Murphy.
For Mr Major, opportunity knocks. He did well on the clapometer yesterday. Better said the clapometer than Lady Thatcher's applause. A third of the delegates refused to join in the standing ovation for their former leader, but today Mr Major has to build on yesterday's clapometer success with a keynote speech which he hopes will send the needle off the scale. And he's not short of advice. Employment Secretary David Hunt.
What I want to hear from the Prime Minister, and of course it's a key speech, I want him to spell out the objectives, as he has done in the past, as he did in the general election campaign. We had a tremendous victory last year. I want him to look forward to the year 2000 and beyond. to explain to people what sort of society we and the Conservatives are trying to create and how we're going to achieve better standards overall in education, health, and each of these other critical areas. And I strongly believe that's exactly what he's going to do.
And Mr. Major must concentrate on basics, says maverick backbencher Theresa Gorn, or as she puts it, the people don't care a stuff about anything else.
I hope that the Prime Minister will respond to the conference, who were clearly worked up on Wednesday when Michael Howard did his piece on law and order and Peter Lilly did his piece about social services and the need to reform it. That's the kind of stuff which the rank and file Conservative want their Prime Minister to talk about and do. They don't give a stuff about Europe, and they're not turned on by seeing him round the world, you know, shaking hands with the Japanese Prime Minister.
And this from that other anti-Maastricht rebel, Bill Cash.
We always work on the basis of hope, and I sincerely do hope that it is about creating unity in the Conservative Party around the framework of common sense.
What the delegates quite obviously want is inspiration and leadership.
Well, I hope to hear from John Major that he is the leader of our party. Clarity, drive, initiative is what we want from him.
It's being seen as a crucial test of his leadership.
I don't think it's a crucial test of his leadership. I think he's leading the government. I think he's leading the party. I think he's having a hard time from the media, but I don't think he's having...
And from Lady Thatcher as well.
Well, Lady Thatcher's not a member of the cabinet anymore. I think John Major is where he is. He's tough. He's made of steel. He has a difficult job. He has a small majority. But he's a tough man.
Personally, I think people expect too much of government. Government shouldn't be controlling every activity that we take part in.
Are we expecting too much of Mr. Major?
I think people are expecting too much from Mr. Major. I think everybody's expectations are too high.
What about you? What do you hope to hear from Mr. Major?
I think that we need to have the enthusiasm that he can give to party workers.
What about all the stories he's a political lightweight?
I don't believe that. He's a nice chap.
Part of Mr. Major's problem is that he is regarded as a nice chap, but not a strong Prime Minister. Former Deputy Chairman of the Tory Party, Lord Archer, says too much emphasis is being put on this speech. It's important today, but it'll be forgotten next week, he says. Although I'm sure Mr. Major will be hoping to make a little more impact than that. Meanwhile, for now, I'll leave you with the Tories letting their hair down last night at the Continental Ball.
Oh, dear, no. Stop. Stop. Oh, no, no, no. There we are, the Conservative Party conference drawing to a close. The conference season itself draws to a close today, unless the monster raving loonies have got something up their sleeve. The nice chap speaks this afternoon. 6:18.
Tea, darling?
Thanks.
Anything racy in the Sunday papers?
Ad for a nice little coupe.
Ah, better ring. Hello, the coupe in the... Gone. But it's crack of dawn on Sunday. What you advertise in the Saturday Telegraph as well.
If you're car hunting this weekend, Sunday's too late, because Saturday's Daily Telegraph now has motoring pages full of advertisements for all the best makes.
What about this? Refined Continental Dynamic Performer Any Trial.
That's the Lonely Heart.
Hmm.
Three messages. I'm afraid the first two are personal, but I can share the third with you. To find out how expertly Nelson Bakewell will handle your commercial property interests, call 071-629-6501 and they'll send you their company brochure. Nelson Bakewell Chartered Surveyors.
Thunk.
Oh, traditional service in the modern manner.
It is 6:19. Overseas now. Details are emerging of President Clinton's plan to withdraw American troops from the UN peacekeeping force in Somalia. He's going to send more in, though, first. Mr. Clinton was on television late last night to spell out a plan to withdraw all US forces by the end of March next year. In the meantime, almost another 5,000 troops will be there to provide better protection for those already there. I've heard this before somewhere. This is where I came in, I think. But as Paul Woodley reports, there are still some mixed signals coming from the White House about exactly what the US will be doing in Somalia in the next 6 months.
In his address, President Clinton said the tragic events of last weekend, in which 13 American soldiers were killed and more than 80 wounded, raised hard questions about the U.S. effort in Somalia. But he said these outrages will not shake American resolve. Responding to strong criticism from the U.S. Congress and waning public support, the president issued an assurance that he would get U.S. forces out of Somalia, but not immediately, as some politicians here had demanded. He explained why he's decided to leave the troops there for another 6 months.
We face a choice. Do we leave when the job gets tough or when the job is well done? Do we invite a return of mass suffering or do we leave in a way that gives the Somalis a decent chance to survive? We started this mission for the right reasons and we're going to finish it in the right way.
He said an extra 1,700 troops will go to Mogadishu, joining the 5,000 already there, and they will take with them more than 100 armored vehicles. In addition, an aircraft carrier will be stationed off the Somali coast, together with 3,500 Marines as a quick reaction force. It was stressed those troops would be under U.S., not U.N. command, as there has been some criticism of the way the United Nations has been running the military operation in Somalia. Mr. Clinton spelled out the role of those additional forces. They would protect American troops already there, keep roads and communications open, keep pressure on those who interfere with relief supplies, and help the Somali people achieve some political stability. Despite the pressure from the U.S. Congress for a quick pullout, President Clinton said that was not an option.
If we take these steps, if we take the time to do the job right, I am convinced we will have lived up to the responsibilities of American leadership in the world.
And he said if America does not live up to those responsibilities, it will only encourage others to attack American troops.
And all around the world, aggressors, thugs, and terrorists will conclude that the best way to get us to change our policies is to kill our people. It would be open season on Americans.
The unspoken thought there was Bosnia, where the U.S. has promised 25,000 peacekeepers out of a total of 50,000 if and when there is a peace to keep. In the last few days, several members of the U.S. Congress have been quoting Somalia as a reason why America should stay out of Bosnia. And an NBC television news opinion poll just published shows that two-thirds of those questioned were opposed to the U.S. sending troops to Bosnia in the light of what's happened in Mogadishu. Mr. Clinton's speech came hours after he met leaders of the U.S. Congress in what was described as a stormy session. But afterwards, the leader of the Republicans in the U.S. Senate, Bob Dole, who's been one of the president's sternest critics, seemed mollified.
I think there is pretty broad bipartisan support for giving the president as much flexibility as he wants.
However, there still seems to be some conflicting views of what happens next. According to those who took part in the White House meeting, Mr. Clinton said to them there will be a shift away from the military emphasis and more attempts at political stability through negotiations with the Somali clans. And he said the UN focus on capturing General Idid was a mistake that will not be repeated. But the Reuters news agency is quoting U.S. government officials as saying the president's new plan calls for very aggressive military action to establish UN control over Mogadishu before the US troops pull out.
Paul Woodley reporting this morning. It's 24 past 6. LBC News Talk, the Mike Carlton Morning Reports. Here at home, some interesting figures this morning. 2.5 million people, young people, are so disillusioned with politics they don't bother to vote. That's according to a survey that's out today. It's research by the British Youth Council. It shows that 1 in 4 Londoners under the age of 25 are not on the voting register, and the organisation says this is a serious concern for democracy. I'm joined by the General Secretary of the British Youth Council, Graham Hitchin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where did you carry out this survey? Is it across Britain or just London?
No, actually, it's quite interesting because a lot of these figures are very easily available. What we have done is actually gathered them together. They, in particular, they're figures that were drawn together from the census survey. And together with those, some exit polling work that was done just after the last general election, and we've actually looked in detail at those figures that do exist, drawn them together, and as I think you're suggesting, drawn out some quite surprising and quite worrying figures.
Mm. Now, are these young people who didn't vote in the last election, or young people who are simply not bothering to line up for the next one?
Well, first of all, the situation is getting worse. That's the first important thing to say. I think, you know, there is always a level of non-involvement. There are always going to be people in all age groups who are not participating in elections. But there are two things here. First, that the situation is getting worse. And second, that it's particularly bad among young people. And young people, quite frankly, who at this point in time are suffering very high levels of unemployment, who are already being marginalised in society, and we're particularly worried that this one way in which they can feel involved and get involved in what's happening in society and in their local community, whether it be local elections or general elections, they're actually not bothering to do so.
Mm, possibly. Is it possible that they look at the choice available and say, why bother?
I think there is a strong element of that. I mean, I was interested earlier in what you were saying about the Tory party conference and the dress sense of some of the politicians. I mean, the fact is they do all wear dark grey suits and look like a fairly boring bunch, whether they're Tories, Liberal Democrats or Labour. But I think more seriously, there is an element that the politicians aren't addressing the needs of young people. They're actually very, very distant from young people and young people's daily lives. In sort of very practical terms, in the way they dress, the way they act, the way they talk. It's a language that they speak which is very distant from the lives of young people.
Mm. I mean, it's a far cry from, I don't know how old you are, but a far cry from the 60s when I was growing up. Everyone was a political activist of some sort, weren't they?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, when people say, you know, has it changed? Haven't young people always been like this? Well, young people may have always been disaffected in some ways, but the fact is, as you're suggesting, in previous periods, they have actually got out and said what they feel and got involved, whether it be through marching through the streets or actually rejecting ideas or getting involved in some form of politics. Young people these days, I feel, have been completely marginalised from the whole system.
What's to be done then?
Well, I think, first of all, as I said before, politicians need to address young people. They need to think about the way in which they present themselves. I mean, it's an interesting comparison, I think, with the States, what happened just prior to the last election, that there were very strong efforts made to get figures known to young people, like Madonna and other people, actually involved in the political process and going out and talking to young people and getting them to use their vote and to get involved in the election. In addition to that, you take somebody like President Clinton. He was out there playing a saxophone. He is actually a young figure, somebody who's attractive to young people. But I think in addition to that, and these are the key things, the young people who are suffering very high levels of unemployment, twice as high as the rest of the population, who are suffering very high levels of homelessness and so on, that in fact politicians need to sit down and start thinking about the things that affect young people. When young people feel that their needs are being addressed, then I think they will actually start getting involved.
Right, Mr. Hitchin, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Graham Hitchin from the British Youth Council. Voting is a turn-off. You can see why, though. The choice available, when you look at them, would hardly sort of set you to the barricades, set the mind aflame with fresh ideas. 28 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock.
Simon, we probably have one of the biggest selections of ready-made curtains in London. There's thousands of pairs from which to choose.
And you can save pounds too by buying curtain fabrics direct from our factory at trade prices, starting from just 99 pence a yard.
Visit the Paul Simon Curtain Factory showroom at Kempton Road, East Ham, or call 081 472 2333.
Do you know if you buy a mobile phone from Granada, you're in for a big surprise? What, like this? Boo! No. Or this? No.
What about...
George, I'm leaving you!
Not really.
Oh, what is it then?
Buy a selected mobile phone from Granada before November the 6th and you'll get a cheque back for £75.
That is quite surprising.
Although none as surprising as this. I'm a woman.
Are you? Never have guessed. You fancy a drink?
For a mobile phone fast without any fast talking, pop into your local Granada shop or call 0800 248 800.
Oh. 29 and a half past six. Frederick?
No major problems to report so far. Motorway's busy, but all moving. Hammersmith Grove earlier on, that was closed between Glenthorne Road and Beeden Street. A possible fire there. And, of course, the lights at Talgarth and Glidden Road just coming off the Hammersmith flyover. Watch out for those. Underground, no reported problems. Bit of a hiccup, however, on British Rail between Arlesford and Great Bentley with delayed trains on the Colchester to Liverpool Street service. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
Fly TWA to America. Buy a ticket at a qualifying fare this week and take your favourite person, friend, companion, lover for free. See your travel agent or TWA for details.
6:30 News is next. This is LBC News Talk on our 20th birthday today.
LBC News Talk 97.3 News.
It's 6:30. I'm Douglas Cameron. The Conservative Party conference comes to an end today with John Major giving the most crucial speech of his political career. He's expected to appeal for party unity and a return to traditional Conservative values. The former Chancellor, Norman Lamont, says it has been a week of unity and Mr. Major will wrap it up confidently.
He's got to make a speech that gives vision and leadership, which I'm sure he will do, and to spell out the policies for the future. I think there has been a shift towards the right at this conference and has been a coming together, and I think it's been very good for the party.
Nearly half Britain's teenagers have tried illegal drugs by the time they leave school, and up to a third are regular users. That's according to researchers at Manchester University. The findings follow interviews with 16-year-olds over a period of 3 years. The MP for Brent East, Ken Livingstone, is claiming that there are rogue elements among British security forces that assassinate Republican sympathisers in Northern Ireland. Mr. Livingstone has made the allegations in San Francisco, where he's testifying in the extradition trial of IRA suspect James Smith, who escaped from the Mays prison in Belfast 10 years ago. The UN Secretary-General, Dr. Boutros Ghali, is welcoming President Clinton's new policy on Somalia. He says it's fully consistent with his own. Mr. Clinton's been on television to say he's doubling to 10,000 the number of US troops in Somalia to stabilise the country. Economic sanctions against South Africa are to be lifted today. The UN General Assembly will vote this afternoon, but the result's a formality, following a direct appeal for the change by the ANC leader, Nelson Mandela. Doctors are questioning the safety of carrying out frequent ultrasound tests on unborn babies. Researchers in Australia have found that pregnant women undergoing five or more ultrasound tests give birth to smaller children. Professor John Newnham says the process should be reviewed.
There was an increased number of smaller babies. In other words, for many of the babies that had had frequent scans, there was a reduction in their birth weight of about 1%, which for a 3-kilogram baby is about 30 grams.
Now the financial news. In Tokyo, the Nikkei index is down 75 points at 2190. Last night in New York, the Dow Jones index finished down 15.36 at 3583.63. The lunchtime Hang Seng index in Hong Kong, that's down 82 points at 7984. On the foreign exchanges in the Far East, the pound is up slightly at $1.52 1/3, and the pound against the mark, 2.47 1/4, unchanged. The currency, what you'll get for a pound buying these in UK banks before you leave. The American dollar, 1.49 1/2. The French franc, 8.39. The German mark, 2.41. The Greek drachma, 349. And the Italian lira, 2,385. Here's the weather from Philip Eden.
The temperature, 9.9. The wind is east-southeasterly at 5 miles an hour. The barometer, 1,003.3 millibars. That's 29.63 inches and steady. A few mist patches first thing this morning around the northernmost fringes of London, but they won't last long. Otherwise, it's a fairly cloudy start, and there are already some splatterings of rain, especially in the southern half of the London area. During the day, then, large amounts of cloud, small amounts of sunshine, and fairly widespread showers, especially later on. In any one place, there's at least an 80% chance of a sharpish one, sort that send you running for cover for 20 minutes or so. And especially later this afternoon, there's a small chance, a 10% chance, say, of thunder as well. Top temperature today, 15 centigrade or 59 Fahrenheit, which is slightly below the seasonal average. Philip Eden, LBC Weather.
More of this very ordinary weather by the sound of that, then. Oh, yes. No, madam. Sports News, 25:30. Dominic Allen, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. You remember last month at the Chinese National Games in Beijing?
Yes.
There were some rather startling performances, particularly by two girls, Wang Yongxia and Ku Yongxia. Wang, if you remember, broke the world record at 3,000 metres twice and 10,000 metres all in the space of a week. And a lot of people, shall we say, raised eyebrows about what sort of training they were doing and were they perhaps using any drugs. Well, the Chinese authorities have now announced that 11 competitors in those games did prove positive and failed the drugs test, but neither Wang Yongxia or Ku Yongxia are among them.
Ah.
So still that question mark remains, I think, in many people's eyes, whether it's to do with some... I mean, they do drink a lot of ginseng in their tea, and if you remember at the...
oh, come on, what?
At the Seoul Olympics, Linford Christie, remember, Seoul was had up, and he proved positive initially. Remember, now he's world 100 metres champion, but he had an adverse finding there because he had some ginseng in tea. So what conclusions we draw from this remains to be seen. But quite obviously, Linford Christie, very much against drugs. He didn't take any drugs, but one has to still have this question mark, I think, over the performances in Beijing.
It might be all the monosodium glutamate in the sweet and sour, too,
Of course, yes. Especially that attitude, where they train.
And indeed, so. Yeah. Well, that's intriguing anyway. So have they been banned or anything?
No. The 11 who've been found positive, they're going to be punished under Chinese rules and international sports rules. Yes, it's such a bit frightening, doesn't it?
Bullet between the eyes, that, I think.
But I think that one's going to run and run, really, or the question mark will remain for some time.
Yes.
One or two interesting contracts have been signed in the last couple of days. Yesterday, Kevin Keegan signed a new contract with Newcastle. No real surprise in that. It's a three-year contract, but there's no escape clause, and that must end speculation that perhaps he might succeed Graham Taylor when Graham Taylor goes. And, of course, if England were to lose to Holland next week, there'll be widespread calls for Graham Taylor to resign. But anyway, Kevin Keegan is now not in the running. He's kind of new. £250,000 a year contract at St James's Park, and there is no escape clause.
Right.
Ryan Giggs...
Unless, of course, they have a disastrous season, in which case he'll find his escapers.
Yes, he'll have the chairman's full backing. Ryan Giggs has signed a contract too, a very lucrative one, obviously a very talented teenager with Manchester United, £6,000 a week, fair amount of money, I suppose, when you're 19, but that effectively will prevent AC Milan moving in because there was a definite move by AC Milan to lure Giggs to Italy for Italian football, but Giggs and Lee Sharp have also signed new contracts at Manchester United.
Okay.
And somebody's opted out of his contract, Philip de Freitas, at Lancashire. Remember, he went to Lancashire from Leicestershire about 3-4 years ago. He asked to be released from his contract yesterday. The reason given is that he wants to be near his daughter, Alex, who's asthmatic.
Well, there are continuing ructions at Lancashire, though.
There have
they?
Been one or two lately, if you remember, yes. I mean, the captain, Neil Fairbrother, resigned yesterday, or the day before yesterday. Mike Watkinson taking over. David Hughes left as manager by, if you say, mutual consent. And Lancashire, I mean, it's the biggest supported county in cricket, but they didn't do it all well this year. They finished right down at the bottom, about 14th in the championship table. And, in fact, Philip de Freitas had a very, very average season for him, an underachiever, shall we say. He took 49-odd wickets, I think. And he played in one test against Australia and was then dropped. He's lost that late swing, which made him an automatic choice in the England team. And he's not in either of the touring parties. He's going down to play for Boland in the Currie Cup in South Africa for his winter.
May have seen better days, do you think, possibly?
Yes. The last time I spoke to him about it, just after he'd moved from Leicester to Old Trafford, and then he got married, and everything, all his problems seemed to be behind him.
When you get married, Dominic, all your problems are ahead of you, I think.
Well. there we are. He's left. I wonder where he's going to go. I think Warwickshire might well move in. Purely coincidence, I'm sure, that he's going to play for Boland in South Africa this winter, and that the Boland coach is also the coach of Warwickshire. But there we shall see.
Okay, right.
And sad news for the All Blacks. I really regret think anything sad about the All Blacks, but Michael Jones, it is sad. I think it's particularly sad for spectators in England and Scotland that Michael Jones is in hospital in Auckland, a great All Blacks flanker, open-side flanker. He broke his jaw in two places training the night before last.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, on Tuesday night.
So he'll miss the tour?
So he's going to miss the tour, yeah.
That's a pity.
That is a pity. Because
splendid.
He's lost a lot of his pace with that knee injury he had, but no, he's still a great player to watch.
Mm-hmm. When's the first game?
They come over on about October the 20th. I think the first game's around October the 22nd or 3rd.
Right. Okay.
And they've got an international against Scotland at Murrayfield and the following week England at Twickenham.
Mm. Okay.
Something to look forward to.
Indeed so. Thank you, sir. That's the sports news this morning. It's 21 to 7 o'clock. LBC News Talk, the Mike Carlton Morning Report.
Nice showroom. Quite friendly, really.
Oh, what do you expect? It is Hughes of Beaconsfield.
Yes, well...
Look at the new C-Class range. Mercedes are so comfortable.
And safe with ABS...
ABS braking.
Not to mention the airbag.
Who mentioned it?
This appeals. A business deal from only £256 per month.
Gee, that is an attractive proposition. The new Mercedes C-Class makes the perfect partner. Time for a trade-in, I'd say.
Darling!
Get smart. Get a new Mercedes C-Class from Hughes of Beaconsfield.
Window film could increase productivity, reduce air conditioning costs, and in the event of an explosion, help save equipment and lives. The Durable Company, with over 21 years' experience, provides and fits 3M window films. Multifilm offers year-round protection against bomb damage, overheating, and glare on VDU screens. Call Reading 483-500 to improve your office environment.
The Durable Company, well worth looking into.
Tea, darling?
Thanks.
Anything racy in the Sunday papers?
Ad for a nice little coupe.
Ah, better ring. Hello, the coupe in the... Gone! But it's crack of dawn on Sunday. What you advertise in the Saturday Telegraph as well.
If you're car hunting this weekend, Sunday's too late, because Saturday's Daily Telegraph now has motoring pages full of advertisements for all the best makes.
What about this? Refined Continental Dynamic Performer, any trial?
That's the Lonely Hearts.
Hmm.
Ah, 20 minutes to 7 o'clock. Fred.
Around the motorways, no reported problems, but on the A1M northbound at Junction 2, the exit slip at Hatfield, there's been an accident there. Not causing too many problems at the present time, but watch out for that one. Around by Talgarth Road, Junction Glidden Road, the lights are out there, and that'll cause problems, especially for those coming into town over the Hammersmith Flyover. Be aware of those. And Earlsfield Road, Junction to Garrett Lane, the lights are out there down by Wandsworth Prison. On the underground, no reported problems, apart from the, maybe a residue from the Central Line strike yesterday, but I doubt it. I think it should be running all right at the moment. They were running a 40% service yesterday. Should be running a full service this morning. And on British Rail, we've got a problem between Arlesford and Great Bentley on the eastern region. This will cause delays and alterations to Colchester Liverpool Street services. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
19 to 7 this Friday, the 8th of October.
Breakfast milk is full of all good things that come from Jersey and Guernsey cows. Protein, calcium and vitamins. And it tastes deliciously smooth and gorgeous. Breakfast milk, smooth as silk.
OK, children, it's time for Make and Mend.
Sally Potter is a children's TV presenter. And today, by using a copy of the Evening Standard, she's going to make a brand new three-bedroom house.
Fold the first page and tape it to the...
What Sally doesn't realise is there's a much simpler approach.
Now stick the other flat opposite the two folded adjacent...
By turning to the Evening Standard's property pages every Friday, Sally can find a whole selection of ready-made houses in the new home section.
The back flap up...
It covers flats, studio apartments or three-bedroom houses for first or second-time buyers.
Oh, but make sure you don't stick the sellotape to your hair. Oh!
Oh, dear. New homes stand out every Friday in the Evening Standard.
Sorry, the mobile phone dealer you have called is not switched on. Please try Granada. Sorry, the mobile phone dealer you have called is not switched on.
At Granada, we want to be sure you've got the right mobile phone package at the right price. And after 6 months, we'll let you know if you're still getting the best value. You can't get more switched on than that.
Please try Granada.
For a mobile phone fast, without any fast talking, pop into your local Granada shop or call 0800 248 800.
Now look here, Sedgwick, this isn't the fastest way to the airport.
No, Seymour. It's the way to the fast-track airport, London Gatwick.
One of Patsy's ideas, possibly?
Any experienced traveller should know about fast-track. It's London Gatwick's new priority clearance system for business class through check-in, security, passport control and duty-free.
But London Gatwick, from my house in Clapham...
Piece of cake. A23, M23 and good value parking at the terminal. Which is why I've decided we're flying from London Gatwick. Yes!
And to it, and through it, Mr. Sedgwick.
I knew it.
London Gatwick, the fast track airport. For a complete guide, call 0800 210 212.
17 to 7 o'clock, LBC News Talk. Life in London, there's a campaign warming up to free the Cray brothers.